All right, let's grab our Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. It's the 3rd of July. We're celebrating the birth of America as a nation, and I praise God for the principles America was founded on, for the truths that America was founded on. We could find those in the Bill of Rights, and those are derived from the Bible and really from Baptist thinking is where they came from. If you study out the history, the roots of it, it came from the Baptists and the persecution that they suffered in history past, but more specifically to relate to America in England, fleeing England, coming here, facing persecution here, and recognizing that there's something known as the liberty of conscience. The liberty of conscience, which in essence, and most Baptists have forgotten the liberty of conscience today, they don't believe in it. But what liberty of conscience is that you can believe whatever you want, because you and you alone will stand before God and answer to God for yourself and for your own beliefs. Amen. No one can answer to God for you. Therefore, you have a liberty of conscience. By the way, God gave that to us, and Baptists of yesteryear recognized that and understood that. Now, I said a good handful of professing Baptists today do not believe in liberty of conscience. Many Americans who would hold to the Bill of Rights do not believe in liberty of conscience because they're anti-Muslim. They're against the Muslims. Look, let me be careful in what I say. I'm not for what the Muslims are doing. But I am just fine if they want to practice what they believe, then they're free to do that. You say, but they're killing people. Right, that's why we understand the two tables of the law, how our government was founded upon the two tables of the law. You have one of them is God-word, that's our conscience, and the other one is man-word. So if Islam wants to say, well, in order to practice my religion, I'm going to kill people, well, then they're infringing on somebody else's right. That's the second table of the law, thou shalt not kill. They don't have the right to do that. Therefore, they've stepped out of their bounds of their liberty of conscience, does not get to infringe on someone else's liberty of conscience. Does that make sense to you? So I'm not for them in that sense, but if they want to be a Muslim, go ahead. If you want to be a Hindu, go ahead. If you want to be a Catholic, go ahead. You can believe whatever you want because you will die and stand before God and answer to God for yourself. But that's also why it's so important that we have the freedom of speech so we can dialogue back and forth and it not be called hate speech, to believe what the Bible says so we can influence them and persuade them with what the truth of the Word of God says so that they will get saved. That's also why we need the freedom of speech. Those are both very important there. All right. Now, with that, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So what is it that exalts or lifts up or magnifies a nation, at least in God's eyes? Well, the Bible says that it's righteousness that exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. A reproach is a shame. It's something to be looked down upon, to hide from. You don't want to be a reproach to anything. That's what sin is. It's a reproach to any people. Not just to the Jews. Sin is a reproach to any people. To any individual, to any house, to any church, to any state, any government. However you want to look at it, it's a reproach to any people. God says righteousness exalts a nation. Well, what's righteous? We better ask God what's righteous then. God's the standard bearer. God gets to determine what is righteous and what's not righteous. Not the passing fancies of the day. Not what's accepted and tolerated today. That is not the standard for righteousness. God's Word is the standard for righteousness, and we must hold to God's Word. So with that, let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we come before You, Lord, asking You to help us understand some truths here. Help us to understand righteousness, Lord. And especially the topic I'm going to deal with, it's not very popular, and our church has heard it before, but I think it's so important that we hear it. It breaks my heart to see what's happening really all over this country in so many churches with so many professing Christians. God, it absolutely breaks my heart. Lord, that's one of the reasons we're starting churches. Yes, we're obeying Your command, but we want to help people with truth. And God, it just saddens me that so many preachers don't actually preach Your word. It just breaks my heart, Lord. I pray You just help us, help this church to stand for the truth, to love people enough to tell them the truth, God, and to do it with compassion, Lord, please. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If you go to chapter 15, verse 9, it says, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. It's an abomination. So the way of the wicked, God says, is an abomination to the Lord. And righteousness exalteth a nation. From there, I want us to turn to Leviticus chapter 20, please. It's the third book in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 20. Now, you've probably been guilty of this yourself. You come to something in the Bible and you begin to justify why whatever the Bible clearly says, you begin to justify why it's not sin. Anybody else been there, or am I the only one? I've done that once or twice. Okay, you see something in the Bible, but you begin to try and justify it and say, no, it's not really that bad. Well, I did it because of this, or I did it for this reason. No, we just go with what the Bible says, and if God calls it sin, it's sin. Amen. Now, we're going to look at something here that is today, it never used to be, but today it's controversial, even within churches. This is insanity. Well, why does it even get like that it's in churches? Because we allow the worldly thought to come in. Preachers allow it. That's where it starts. I'm telling you, the buck stops here. The preachers allow it, period. And the preachers start preaching it or don't preach it, and then the people believe it. And if you don't believe me, just go start reading what the comments that people make when a verse like this is put up. We're in Leviticus chapter 20. I want verse number 13. Here's what God says. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, God says it's an abomination. Proverbs said wickedness is an abomination. So what's God saying that is? He's saying it's wickedness. And then you get all the arguments. Everyone says, well, you know, oh, so you don't mix your fabrics together. You know, because God says that's an abomination, and you don't eat shellfish because God says that's an abomination. Okay, let's take for granted that this is given to the Jews specifically. So if you don't like what that says, we could look at the New Testament and see what the New Testament says about what is today. And here's how they hijack and steal terms to make it sound, you know, user-friendly, okay? They try and soft-pedal sin. They try and downplay how wicked it is. And just for instance, what we do today is instead of it being adultery, we say they had an affair. Instead of calling someone a drunk, which is what the Bible calls them, we say they're an alcoholic, they have a disease. What? We soft pedal it. It's not really your fault. That's what we do. We tell them it's not really your fault. It's not your fault you're a drunk. It's just poor you. You know, the last alcoholic sneezed on you, you caught it. I mean, poor you. We're going to try and cure you. No, you're a drunk. That's what the Bible says, but we don't want to say that because, well, that might hurt their feelings. Maybe that's what they need to come to repentance. Amen. Instead of condoling them and condoning the sin that they're committing. So today it's called gay. The Bible just calls it unnatural, leaving the natural use of the men for that which is unnatural. So it's called unnatural, or he calls them sodomites. That's Bible terminology. We shouldn't shy away from it. Amen. It's Bible terminology. And if you're here thinking that's so harsh, then you think God is harsh. Amen. Honestly, you think God is harsh because that's God said it, not me. It was God's terminology. So it says right there, if a man also lieth with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. We're here in chapter 20. Go to chapter 19 of Leviticus. Because everyone always, when you start bringing this stuff up, they say, oh, well, that's Old Testament law. The Christians not under that. We're not under that today. That's just for the Jews. You know, this is specifically given to the Levites. Okay. Leviticus 19, verse 26 says, ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the corners of thy beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. And then look at verse 29. My, oh my, what does this say? Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Do not prostitute thy daughter. How many of us would say it's okay to prostitute our daughter today? Does anybody in here want to say, prostitute your daughter? It's okay. That's a good thing. Because this is the only place in the Bible we're told not to prostitute our daughter. This is it. So all the arguments they use that, well, chapter 20, verse 13, that's all Old Testament. It doesn't apply to us. Well, does verse 29 of chapter 19 apply to us? Are we now allowed to prostitute our daughters? To cause her to be a whore. It says the land will fall to whoredom. The land shall become full of wickedness. Isn't that what's happening in our nation? Hasn't our land fallen to wickedness? I mean, we're talking about righteousness exalteth a nation. I want our nation to be lifted up, closer to God. But how can it be if we promote that which God calls an abomination? If our land is to fall to whoredom as we prostitute our daughters, how can it be? Let's go to Romans chapter 1, if you would, please. Romans chapter 1. What brought this about? I really had not planned on speaking about this at all until, you know, you see what's going on out there, and there's a young man that I know, and last year, either a day or two ago, he came out publicly on Facebook that he was gay. He's an open sodomite. And that was a year ago. And then his sister and a friend marked the year anniversary this year and celebrated it and took a picture of him or whatever, put it on Facebook. And then I began to see all the comments that were coming in. And all these comments were from professing Christians saying, I'm so proud of you. Wow, congratulations. That's a great thing. And all of them profess to be Christians. All of them still go to a Baptist church. And I thought, well, what's the problem? Why these people, are they not reading their Bible? Are they not reading their Bible that we would condone something such as so wicked as that? Show me in here anywhere God has done that. Please show me anywhere that God has done that. I can show you where he destroyed two cities because of it. I can show you where a king that had the Sodomites' temple torn down where they practiced their wickedness and had them killed. I can show you that in here. We're going to look at Paul preaching against it. But I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God's people or God ever condoned it as something good. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God ever condoned drunkenness as good. Amen. Nowhere. I don't see him ever condoning stealing as good. So people today want to complain and say, oh, they take this one sin and they magnify it above all the others. No, we don't. It's just that you're bashing it in our face every single day. It's getting bashed in our face. I don't care. Go to the grocery store, turn the television on. Doesn't matter where you go. Just listen to someone else's conversation and it's being bashed into your face. That accept the sodomite agenda. Accept the sodomite agenda. Accept the sodomite agenda. Why? Why do God's people cower to that? Because we stop believing the Bible. How do we expect God to bless America when we, as God's people, won't even stand for righteousness? When righteousness is what exalts a nation. If we want the blessing of God, then we have to be worthy of being blessed by God. You say, well, none of us are worthy. We're all sinners. Yeah, I understand that, but we can walk in righteousness. We can walk in sanctification. We can walk in the light and have fellowship with God. That's what the Bible says in 1 John. We can walk in fellowship with God. We can do that. And we can have God's blessing on our life. Or we could be like Lot and have his curse on our life. Look at what happened to Lot. He lost his whole family. His whole family. Look at Samson. He didn't obey God. And look at what happened to him. He lost his eyes. He lost his sight. And he eventually lost his life. Why? Because he chose to walk in sin. We don't have to do that. Amen. We can walk in righteousness. So I saw all these people condoning it like it's something good. No, that's like telling the drug addict, oh, I'm so proud of you. You just shot that up. Hey, way to go. That is excellent. Good job. I'm proud of you, man. How come we can see that's nonsense? We'd say, who in the world would do that? That's crazy. We wouldn't condone that. That's wickedness. That's awful. Hey, this husband over here just beat his wife. Let's all go give him a handshake. Man, what a good guy he is. That's awesome you're doing that. Keep her in line. We wouldn't do that. We'd say that's wicked what he did. How dare he do that? But this one gets a pass. Well, because it's popular today. Because when the Sodomites came out of their closet, guess who went in the closet? Christians. Christians. See, when the light disappears, the darkness comes out. And the light has put a bushel over it. We're hiding our light because we're not speaking out. And it doesn't mean we be mean to people. Not at all. Not at all. We've had gay people come in here, welcomed them, tried to help them. We were all willing to help. You guys remember that message I preached? We were going to help that man. He didn't want it. He stopped coming. But we were all willing to do that, and everyone was kind to him. We never treated him wrong. Not one of us. Matter of fact, we showed him love. Amen. We're not against people. We're for people. We want to help people. If we thought we were better than people, we wouldn't help Christine. Yep. We wouldn't help Don. We wouldn't try and help Alberto. We wouldn't try and help these people that are drug addicts, getting high on meth, shooting up, inviting them to Church Joseph behind Landmark last week. Pray he comes still. I still want Joseph to come. I hope I see him out there. I want to see Joseph so I can talk to him. We want to help people, but we don't help them by telling them that what they're doing is okay. We have to tell them the truth if we really love people. We have to. Romans chapter 1. I got 4 minutes. Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to get through everything. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So look here, when somebody says, I'm born gay, okay, am I going to go with you or am I going to go with God? Am I going to go with so-called today's science or am I going to go with God? Science is always changing and always wrong because they don't follow truth. They follow political correctness just the same. You know, the American Psychiatric Association, whoever it is, they put out their standings for what makes what's a mental disorder. And being gay used to be on that list until like probably 20 years ago or something, and they voted to take it off of it. It used to be a mental disorder. But political correctness had them change that, and they voted it out, and they said, oh, it's no longer a mental disorder. Okay, so they say that, oh, I'm born gay. I beg to differ. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. It's because they wanted it. That's why they do it. That's the same reason you sin. That's the same reason I sin, is because I want to. Because the lust of my heart says, I want that, I'm going to do it. That's why you sin. Again, we give them a pass. We say, oh no, they're born that way. Well, that's like me saying that I'm born a serial adulterer. Sorry, honey, I'm just going to cheat on you and I can't help it because I was born that way. I was just born to cheat. I can't help it. We'd say, no, that's sin. Exactly my point. No, I choose to do it. If I were to commit adultery on my wife, it's because I would choose to do it. Period. Nobody made me. The devil didn't make me do it. Someone else didn't make me do it. I chose it. You don't know what I put up with from my wife or my husband. They forced me into it. No, you chose to do it. You chose to do it. No one makes you lie. Nobody makes you steal. Nobody makes you drink. Nobody makes you cuss. Nobody makes you covet. Nobody makes you do any of those things. You choose to. And God, it says right here, gave them up to uncleanness. See, it's unclean. It's not right. It's unnatural. It's unclean. To uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. They choose it. A sodomite chooses it. Period. Period. Stop fostering the lie that someone is born that way. Amen. They are not born that way. And if you want to continue, still, that's fine. If you want to believe that someone is born that way, you can believe it. I'm telling you right now, you have liberty of conscience. You can believe it, but don't. You don't have liberty to change what God says. Don't say that God says that's what happens, because God says the exact opposite. So don't say that God is on your side, because God is not on your side. Right here, he says, it's through the lusts of their own hearts. What do? They dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Dishonor their own bodies. What do? They change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. What creature are they worshiping and serving? Themselves. themselves. That's the same thing the fornicator does. You know, fornication is a broad term that encompasses any sex outside of marriage. That's what fornication, it would be the sodomites, it'd be the adulterer, whatever, the whoremonger, the whore, all of it. Fornication encompasses all of it. So it says right there, they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. They're worshiping and serving themselves. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. That's what God says of it. The context is a gay lifestyle, what the sodomites do. God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So here's another argument. If someone says, I don't believe the Bible, fine, it's against nature. It's against nature. If you want to go with that, nature itself is against it. The gays, all they can do is recruit. All they can do is recruit. That's it. Because they can't procreate. They can't. They change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's against nature. It's unnatural. It's not right. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. Get this. Here it is again. Burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. That's what they're doing. It's unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. Why do you think so many sodomites, as you talk to them, you invite them to church, nope, I'm not going. They automatically think you hate them because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. And I'm not saying some Christians haven't given it a bad name. But look, even for some of the things I've said right now, Christians would say, you're being mean. You don't love those people. They'll never come to Christ like that. Other people have come to Christ by the truth being preached. See, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Amen. He doesn't sidestep it. He does not sidestep it. He convicts of sin. I've talked to so many people out on the street, and I never knew they were gay. And as I'm talking to them, they bring it up to me. They say, well, how does your church feel about gay people? I said, well, we preach the Bible. They can come, but we preach what the Bible says. I never brought it up. I didn't even know they were gay. They brought it up to me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. He's very pointed. He's not general. He's very pointed. He'll point out specific sin to you. That's how he works. You can read about it in John chapter 16. Jesus said, I'm going to send him, and here's what he's going to do. He's going to reprove the world of sin. Do you know what reprove means? It means to blame to the face. To blame to the face. This is why a lot of people won't come to church, because they say, I don't want to hear that. We had a lady just on, Brother Damian was talking to her in Isaiah on Sunday to Landmark. They went and talked to her, and she said, well, are you guys a hellfire brimstone church? He's like, well, we preach the Bible. Call it whatever you want. We preach the Bible. She said, I don't want that. You guys need to preach on love and acceptance, right? Isn't that what she said? Something along those lines. Where's that come from? The devil wants us preaching love and acceptance. God says, preach repent. Preach repentance. That's what he started. His first message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. That was his first message. Not I love all of you, here's a rose. Nope. That's not what he came out preaching. He came out preaching repentance. It says there, they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I went 3 minutes past. I apologize for that. But what did I want to say all of this for? To remind us that righteousness exalteth a nation, and that's one of the biggest reproaches in this nation, that and abortion. Abortion is a national holocaust. That's the most, to me, that is the most wicked thing going on in this nation right now is abortion. How we could, even now, I just saw a poll the other day, I think it was on Fox News, that said, I don't know, it might have been CNN, it was at the gym when I was running. And it said that should Roe v. Wade be overturned? And it said 29% said yes, and whatever, 67% said no. 67% of our nation says no. Let's continue ripping children to pieces out of their mother's womb. That's unnatural right there. Amen. That is unnatural. How a mother could even think that that's okay. It's a form of Baal worship. Because that's what Baalism was. They had that hollow image of Baal with its arms out, and they put the baby on it. And they'd get the fire under it so it's red hot, and they put that baby on it as a sacrifice. And what they do, here's where the drums come into so-called worship. They beat the drums in their worship to their so-called God, to the devil, so that they couldn't hear the baby screaming. It's the same thing that's happening today. It's a national holocaust. And most of our countries for the murder of children. And there's already some doctors pushing for, well, at 2 years old, a parent should still be able to decide if a two-year-old should live. They're not viable. They can't sustain themselves. Is that what it is? See, if we don't recognize life in the womb, when do we start recognizing it? This is why old people, we're just start knocking them off. Everyone got all up in arms when Sarah Palin said they're going to have death panels. What do you think they're going to have? They're already doing it. They're already saying, no, you're too old. You don't qualify for that. We're not giving you that treatment. They're already doing it. It's some bureaucrat. It's not a family that gets to decide. When we devalue life, they're doing it in Norway or Denmark, one of those places over there. The suicide rate's going up because they've allowed assisted suicide. We devalue life. That's self-murder. God never condones that anywhere. But this is what happens when the light stops shining. The darkness invades. And if we want to exalt this nation, if we want God to exalt this nation and bless this nation, and by the way, every one of us in here should want God to bless this nation. I don't want God's judgment on this nation. God's judgment is the worst of the worst. You don't want it. None of us want it. It talks about women being ravished, children being dashed to pieces. That's God's judgment. How would you like to watch your child's brains be bashed open over a rock by the butt of a rifle? How would you like to watch that? You say, that's graphic. Yes, it is, because that's what happens when God's judgment comes. I want God's blessing on this nation. And I thank God for the liberties we have. Let's not take them for granted. Let's go out and be light. And not back down from the world, even if everybody hates us because we stand for truth. Then we should stand anyway. We all look at John the Baptist and we say, wow, how amazing. We look at Peter and John and say, that's praise the Lord. They stood and they didn't back down when they were threatened with prison and beatings. Well, let's not back down. Let's be light, salt and light in a dark, corrupt world. And let's let God use us to drive the darkness back. Let's shine the light of the gospel on people. Because that's what's needed, the gospel of salvation. It's for everybody. Every sinner I ever met, I just mentioned, could get saved. Every one of them. Praise God for that. That's the amazing grace of God. That's God's love. He commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, not one of us deserves it. Not one of us. But God says, I love you so much, I'll die for you anyway. And I'll give you the gift of eternal life. Come to me. Receive the gift. It's yours. It's there for free to anybody. Anyone. Any one of you. Any one of you, it's yours. All you got to do is come to him and ask. God's offering it to you. Will you let him give it to you? Will you receive it? Let's pray. Father, we love you.